Coke is like candy in this industry. Mm-hmm. I've never done that. But it's so destructive, and there's so many beneficial things that are healthy and natural for you.
I'm picturing an after party, but I'm picturing Kelly Clarkson being like, here's some B12 supplements.
I know, that's it. Everybody's like, oh, you look good. I was like, man, I just had some NAD. I feel so good.
I take it in liquid form. Yeah.
You know what? NMN is really good too with resveratrol. But anyway, I'm just saying.
Oh, that's straight out of the David Sinclair playbook right there.
I know. I didn't just read it. I took it in.
It's my Bialik's breakdown. She's going to break it down for you. Because you know she knows a thing or two. And now she's going to break down. It's a breakdown. She's going to break it down.
I'm Maya Bialik, and welcome to my breakdown. This is the place where we break things down so you don't have to. And today, we're breaking down the thyroid. We're breaking down divorce. We're breaking down why Maya doesn't think she's good enough for anything, but Kelly Clarkson does. Does that sound about right?
Sounds about right.
That's the voice of my favorite polar bear, Jonathan Cohen.
Oh, I thought I was going to be your favorite American Idol. I almost made that show. But Kelly took my spot.
You could also be Mr. Know-It-All if we're thinking about Kelly Clarkson themed songs. Because of you, I never stray too far from the sidewalk because you make me afraid to branch out. I need to fly away and break away.
Because of you, I have this microphone.
Jonathan, we're talking to Kelly Clarkson today. It's a very, very exciting person to have on because she is famously cool, like normal, like, and people are like, she's not normal. She's pretty normal.
She's a straight shooter.
A straight shooter from Texas. And she, spoiler alert, she's wearing no makeup and she's in pigtails and like just came back from a jog and gives zero F's.
And had just gardened.
She was
jogging, gardening podcast.
And she's like, she taught me a lot. I cried more than once. But not in a good way. Anyway, I think everyone's going to really enjoy hearing Kelly Clarkson talk about kind of how her body and mental health have reacted to her incredible life. Also, she's so humble. Like, she's inappropriately humble. You're going to tell me people sing like that all over Texas? Maybe they do. But I can't imagine that that woman opened her mouth and people weren't like, what? I mean, when she was on American Idol, it was like, what? What is that voice? It's very, very special.
It's pretty amazing.
Would you like to sing us something from Kelly Clarkson, Jonathan?
You always tell me I'm tone deaf.
You are.
So let's not encourage me to sing. I sound like Kelly Clarkson in the shower in my own head, and that's all that matters.
That is true. We also get a little peek into a new kind of therapy Jonathan's been doing. Talk about that later in the episode.
That's true.
Word of the day.
The word of the day is NMN, which Mime will tell us what it stands for.
NMN stands for nicotinamide mononucleotide, which is actually, it looks like RNA. Like if you've heard of DNA, which is deoxyribonucleic acid, the single chain version of DNA is called RNA. You may know about RNA because we've been talking a lot about mRNA, messenger RNA, regarding the COVID vaccine. It's an mRNA. It's the kind of genetic information that viruses have. So viruses are living things, as it were, and they don't have DNA like we do. They have RNA. So NMN is that kind of structure. And you know, it's a bunch of molecules, which I don't think that's the most important part of this. Like, it's a nicotinamide, it's a ribose, and it's a phosphate, which if you like organic chemistry, you're my friend. NMN is a precursor to something called NAD or NAD plus, and that's nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide. But what's important about NMN is when it's marketed as a supplement, which is how we will be talking about it and how some people take it, it basically encourages, in theory, the production of NAD and NADH and NAD plus. NADH just has a hydrogen group added to it. Anyway, now that you're listening again, because I'm stopping talking about organic chemistry, this is something that's found in very large concentrations in mitochondria. Now, mitochondria is the powerhouse of every cell in your body. So, you know, every cell that you have, so like your skin is the largest, you know, collection of cells, which is, you know, an organ essentially of skin cells, but you have cells everywhere. Your whole body's made of cells. And a cell has a nucleus, which has its genetic information, but it also has all these other things going on in the cell. There's like a packaging station. Think of like a post office. Every cell's got one. It's called the Golgi apparatus. But the mitochondria, which is one of these other things in the cell, is the powerhouse of your cell. It's what creates ATP. It's what creates the energy that fuels every process in your body. So having more NAD and NADH available, in theory, is something that companies like NMN supplements are capitalizing on, meaning they are selling you these supplements as ways to increase your energy. And I have taken them. They can work topically. For some systems, it can hit like a, whoa, oh my goodness. And I kind of had an oh my goodness experience, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But many people take this as a regular supplement. So when you hear us talk about NMN or NADH, that's what that is. And these are kind of tend to be expensive supplements. These are, you know, often offered from LA or other coastal, you know, kinds of doctors as an advance in the metabolic boosting that many people can do. It's not illegal. It's not like a narcotic. It's nothing like that. But anyway, that's what NMN is, and that's how it functions in your body.
Mayim, if someone who's listening doesn't know who Kelly Clarkson is, why don't you share a little bit about her?
I'll spread my wings and I'll learn how to fly.
Jesus Take the Wheel? That's her too, no? It's not her. Who is it? Who's Jesus Take the Wheel?
You. Kelly Clarkson is an Emmy Award-winning talk show host. She is a Grammy Award-winning artist. She is, it makes me a little verklempt to talk about it, America's original idol. She's one of the most popular artists of this era. She has worldwide sales of more than 25 million albums. I can't even fathom that. And 40 million singles. She's also a coach on season 20. I didn't even know that went on for 20 years of NBC's multi-Emmy award-winning musical competition series, The Voice. She also is in season 2 of her own multi-Emmy award-winning daytime talk show. Everything she does, she gets awards for. The Kelly Clarkson Show, which has already been picked up for an additional 2 seasons. She had me on once. Just letting you know, Kelly, I'm available for another 2 seasons. She recently released her critically acclaimed Grammy-nominated 8th studio album, Meaning of Life. And in 2020, she released her powerful single, I Dare You, which she recorded with 5 other artists in 6 languages. So she was the winner in 2002 of the inaugural season of American Idol. Her single was A Moment Like This, Some People Wait. Once, but oh, can't believe it's happening to me. I'm literally singing and Jonathan is not paying attention. That was a powerful moment because some people do wait a lifetime for a moment like this and they're singing and the other person is not listening. Clarkson is one of pop's top singles artists with 17 singles boasting multi-platinum, platinum, and gold certifications around the world. She's won every award that I think exists. Daytime Emmy, Grammy Awards, American Music Awards, MTV Video Music Awards, Academy of Country Music Awards, American Country Awards, Country Music Association Awards. She's also the first artist to top each of Billboard's pop, adult, contemporary, country, and dance charts. That's incredible.
She also has a talk show.
I mentioned that, and if you were listening, you would have heard it. I can't right now. She also has hosted the Billboard Music Awards for the past 3 years. She voices the character of Moxie in Ugly Dolls and the character of Delta Dawn in Trolls World Tour. She also was the winning coach on seasons 14, 15, and 17 of The Voice. It is really an honor to welcome Kelly Clarkson, and I promise you Jonathan will pay much more attention to her than he does to me. Let's welcome Kelly Clarkson.
Break it down.
Kelly Clarkson, it's so exciting to have you here.
I know. I feel like we've been planning this for a year.
Well, so I had the honor and privilege of appearing on your show, which was a lot of fun during COVID. I didn't even get to get close to you for a picture. It made me really sad.
Ditto.
But since then, and it was, I think, you, me, and Bobby Moynihan, who I had on my podcast.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a very large fan of yours. I've wept to your music for many years.
The feeling was mutual. It was awesome to find out.
Well, I cannot give you music to help you through divorce, but you gave me music to help me through divorce. So thank you very much.
You're a really great conversationalist. That's why I was so excited to do this.
You
left the thing and I was talking to my the Zoom or whatever, and I was like talking to my friend Trisha. I was like, she's so cool, like so down to earth and like really smart and witty, and it was a nice bouquet of everything.
Thank you. That's me. Yeah. I'm a nice bouquet of everything.
You're a nice bouquet of all of it.
And it's always fun to have two celebrities talking about how awesome the others are. But
that's like award shows.
I've met a lot of human beings, and you come off exactly the way you are. You are a very, like, you're a normal, you feel like a normal person to me.
I am exactly what you see on TV.
Right. But you have you're a very, very, very famous, award-winning, amazing human, but you really do have like a normal way of speaking.
Yeah, no, I think they try. I don't know if they did they do this to you because you were so young in the industry. I was too. I was like 19. Did they try and get you to do like the media training, like in the beginning?
I'm untrainable.
That's legit what the guy told my manager at the time. He was like, "Good luck," because he was like, "Maybe you shouldn't answer it that way because then someone will ask you that." And I'm like, "All right." Then they asked me that. And they're like, "Well, no, but people might not want you to answer that." And I'm like, "Why would I not answer that? It's not like super personal." And then they're like, "Well, they'll misconstrue it." And I'm like, "They'll misconstrue everything I say. I'm from a small town. Did you just get here?"
Take us back to that small town, if you will.
Yes.
Take us back. Tell us who you were before everyone in the universe knew who you were. What was young Kelly like?
I was born in Fort Worth, Texas, and I grew up half my life, or half my childhood life. And then I moved to Burleson, which is a completely different side of the tracks. Like the two cities they're 30 minutes apart, but they could not be more different. The area of Fort Worth I lived in and then Burleson.
Fort Worth, is that where the airport is?
Dallas, Fort Worth. Dallas, Fort Worth. Yes, DF Dubs.
That's what I know about that.
But no, I did have a mother and father at some point. But my mom, I stuck with her. We randomly lived in Orange County for a bit, around like the age of six, and then my parents split, and then everyone went a different way. Hmm. Like, it was like me and my brother, my sister, my mom for a little bit when they split, and then he ended up with my dad, she ended up with my aunt, and I was with my mom for most of, for alone without my, so I didn't really grow up with my siblings, like past the age of like seven or eight. But yeah, we all went different, legit different parts of the country. But yeah, it was a really hard divorce. You've been through divorce, you get it. But that one was really, that was a really hard divorce for my mom. So I think it was very easy for him. But anyway, so he wasn't really involved in my life, but then we moved to Burleson, Texas, and that's where I like kind of, you know, the last half of my childhood years, whatever, you know, till senior year in high school or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I got out. I love the small town I grew up in. I still love going back. My friends that live there and family that live around there, but I wanted to get out. I was always this way. Like no, that's not true. I was actually very shy until singing. Nobody believes this, but I was, because it's unbelievable, I get it. But I was really shy, like wallflower, painfully shy. I would cry to my mom, like if I felt, I like in crowds of people, like. And then literally I was just having such a hard time, and I don't know what it was really at the time, but she told me to start like writing it out like in a journal, and that led to like poetry, and then that led to songs, and then that led to me singing. Then my personality, literally, I think around the age of, I don't know, 15, has been this. So I haven't really changed, like, since, you know, personality-wise. Like,
I mean, I believe that, because the stage is a very different kind of experience than life, you know? So I get it. I know a lot of people must think, like, there's no way that this could have been a shy person. But no, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Well, I think any kid, when you find something that you find confidence in, like if you find you're special at, or people say you're special at it, or then you latch on and you think, and then it almost becomes a little bit of your identity, just because that's, especially in school, like, oh, she's the one that plays volleyball, or she's the one that sings, or she's the one that, you know, became a bit of that. So I think with that came confidence. So yeah, I kind of got pushed into a lot of things that were like singing opera, like doing all that kind of stuff at such a young age and doing.
Let's talk about your voice for a second. Okay. Because this isn't just like, oh, Kelly, write your thoughts out. Oh, make them rhyme. Oh, write a song.
It like, really was.
No. But okay. So maybe that was, but when you sing, like you have a very exceptional, like you have an exceptional voice. Like there's something very otherworldly about that kind of power coming out of this person. So was it like, I don't know, did you sing in church? Like, was it like, oh, this girl's got a voice? Because you have a voice that's almost like disproportionately enormous and stunning for,
to
especially
my,
for
to
a teenager.
My 5'3" self.
Well, I mean, no, but that's not to say that you need to be tall or whatever. But I'm saying like, you're the kind of person that when we, the public of the world heard it, it was like, oh my God, like what? How? So did you know you had that voice?
No, I mean, honestly, this sounds like such a dumb answer, but literally I grew up around a lot of singers. Like everyone in my small town, everyone sang in church.
Right.
Everyone did all of that. I really wasn't that special in that sense. Like everyone around me sang and sang well, mind you. So I think that the difference for me is I did put a lot of work in. I had some choral directors that were really hard on me, like make you cry hard on you. In a good way, in a sense, because it did make me, you know, who I am today, but would really push me and not accept anything less than what they knew I could do. That really pushed me. I think doing, you know, it's just like if you ever meet a guitarist that learns classical, you know, how to play classical, you know, musical guitar, they can probably go through any genre because of that skill.
Right.
And if you have that skill set, you're kind of able to more like flow in different genres. So I knew that the only way my poor behind was ever going to make college or ever going to get out was going to have to be scholarship. Because my mom is a teacher, so we made like $5 over the limit of like your... not going to get financial aid. So I was like, we were like right above it. So I knew that the only way I was going to be able to go to college was for singing. And then I worked my ass off for like years and in high school, like earning that and getting enough to where I could get scholarships. And then I chose not to go. And I lived on a mattress in LA in some people's house. And yeah, just went after my dream. I guess I had a lot of older friends. I don't know if y'all had this experience. I had so many older friends in my town. They came back and they wasted their first year of college. They just like partied. It was their first time they ever had freedom, like without their, and they wasted it. And I was like, I don't want to waste a year of my life doing that. So I moved to LA and had like 4 jobs. And
wow.
But I honestly don't think, I feel like I've always been a voice under construction. Like even now, like I like my voice better now than I did in my 20s. And I feel like it's always like it improves because one, you warm it up, you cool it down, you know how to use your voice.
You've also lived.
But also experience in not like singing, but in experience in life. There's nothing worse. I don't care if you're a singer or not a singer. There's nothing worse than hearing someone sing a song and you're like, you've never felt that
well.
Way.
It's funny you say this because
it drives me nuts.
Yeah, I'm a piano player and I play a couple different things, but piano is kind of my baby. And I taught both of my boys to play because like, that's what you do. Like, that's what we do in our house. Like we play, we sing, like you have to have this in your genes or I'm sending you back to wherever you came from. So my older son has a much better musical memory than I do, meaning I will still play Moonlight Sonata looking at the music. And like, mostly there's muscle memory and I know it, but he just like can memorize 3 pages in his head. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is while he technically has it, there's something missing because he's 15. And it's like, I didn't even think that you could have that in piano where like, it's almost like, I'm like, Miles, give it some schmaltz. And he's like, but I'm playing it. I'm playing it right.
But it's the feeling.
Totally. And as a musician, I never thought that I would progress well into my 30s, actually during my divorce, was the first time I ever wrote a piece of music. I've been playing since I'm 4 years old. I never wrote a piece of music until during my divorce. And it's funny because when I play that song, my younger son, who was, I mean, he was four when I got divorced. The first time I played that song in years, his head swiveled around like somewhere in his soul. I would play with him nursing in my lap. I wrote this, and it's like he heard it. But that notion of that, like, we evolve as people and it comes out in our music, I never even realized that that's a thing. But it's so true with a voice.
No, I mean, even like people will say now, like they'll watch like the Kelly Oakes on the talk show, and they'll be like, your voice sounds like stronger than it did, like it, like as you're getting older. And I'm like, look, I never believed that could even happen until I saw Tony Bennett sing. And I didn't even know a ton of Tony Bennett music. I knew some, like everybody does, but like
no one should.
I didn't know a ton. And I'm just saying, I went to this thing like to sing at it, and he got on stage, and I was like, dude was like 86 years old. I don't know how old he was. He was like, and he sounded so good. Like, not like, you know, the older woman in choir at church with the loss of vibrato that's going crazy. Like, not like that. Like, sounded like really good. And I was like, whoa. It actually goes with this book I've been reading. I don't know if you'd be into it, but it's called Lifespan by David Sinclair. And
the longevity specialist, David Sinclair from Harvard University.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, it's like an interesting, somebody turned me onto it. And I was like, and more so like, not for aesthetics, but for like on a cellular level, it's interesting. Like your, like you said, your muscles, your everything, how it can deteriorate, but it can get better. I think by the time you're 80, whatever, you'll be sitting at that piano and you will play so much better than you're even playing now. If it's really a way you use for therapy, you use for to, you know, just as an outlet, I think. And you said you wrote a piece during your divorce. Well, I haven't written this many songs since I was like 20. Like it's because a lot of it is, that's our outlet. Music is your outlet. Yeah. It's your like, you know, escape and therapy.
My MB Alex Breakdown is supported by BetterHelp Online Therapy.
If you're struggling with anxiety, I mean, right now, who isn't? Or depression, maybe you're having relationship problems, maybe you feel like you're not achieving what you want in life. Online therapy might be a really good fit for you, and BetterHelp can help you. They assess your needs and they match you with a professional licensed therapist who you can speak with in under 48 hours from your assessment. It's not a crisis line, it's not self-help. These are therapists with a broad range of expertise. You can have weekly video, phone, or live chat sessions with your therapist. You can send messages to them and log into your account anytime. And if you don't like your therapist, it's easy and free to change to another one. It's convenient. It's affordable. Jonathan, how do our listeners get help?
Therapy is a game changer, and our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/break. That's betterhelp.com/break. My MB Alex Breakdown is supported by Blinkist.
Do you want to know what my secret weapon is for learning new things and getting ahead? Well, it's really hard to find the time to sit down and read, which is usually how I like to learn more. When you don't have free time, you can't read or work on a certain aspect of personal development. And there's an incredible app that solves this problem. I highly recommend it. It is called Blinkist. It's very unique. It works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. It takes the best key takeaways, like the need to know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Jonathan, this is exactly made for you. You love learning new things, but also don't have the time to like sit down and go through it all, but you can absorb that information when it's presented like this. Successful people like Jonathan and also business leaders, they're well known for reading a lot of books. And Blinkist is made for busy people who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, on your lunch break, or while you exercise. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now. It has a massive and growing library, self-help books, business, health, history. They have the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as classic nonfiction titles that you always meant to read but just didn't have time to. I like Blinkist because you get unlimited access to read or to listen to this massive, massive library of condensed nonfiction books. All the books you want for one low price.
Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/MBB, where you can try it for free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/MBB to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/MBB.
Can you just, you know, give us sort of the, you know, kind of from a mental health lens, how your life changed in terms of your becoming this public person, you know, entering the stage of the universe and really going on, you know, I mean, you still look 19, but really going on this whirlwind, you know, journey as a musician, as a pop star. Like, what has that, if you could sum it up, like, what has that journey felt like?
I mean, an experience. It's all different. Like, every time someone asks me anything about, you know, mental health and like the industry and like working in it, I literally always think of this one moment I had in my garage at Texas, and it was at my house, and it was just, I don't know why, but it was right after I finished like the third tour for my Breakaway record, which was like the biggest record for me. And I don't know why, but I needed milk or something. Like, it was something so weird, but I needed milk, but I just didn't want to see people, like, cause I was empty. I was like, I have no fuel to like be, and it's not that I didn't want to be nice. It's just, I just had no fuel and I was run down. I didn't know I could say no yet, you know? And as a girl, especially from the South where I'm from, it's like, you don't want to appear lazy or bitchy or all the things. So I didn't really have that knowledge in my core yet. So I literally needed milk and I looked at my brother and I just like literally started hysterically crying because I was like, I can't take it back. And at the time, Jason was just like, the whole time was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I was like, and he was trying to help me, but I was just like, I can't take it back. You can't take it back. Like, you're just famous. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even if it doesn't work out, you're not famous anymore. You know, your career goes to crap or whatever. You're still famous. Like, people still know who you are, you know, a lot of places. So I don't know why, but for some reason, that one moment, I don't know, it must have been like 2005, 2006, somewhere around there. But I had like a, not like a breakdown, but I had like a moment in my garage where I just cried it out for like a good solid 10 minutes in front of my brother going, I can't take it back. And I was like, I just want milk. I don't want to go get milk because I don't want somebody to talk to me. I was like, but it was, you know, it was before Postmates and I lived out in the country. But anyway, so it was, just, I think there's been, you know, a few moments kind of like that have been hard because even in a small town, like growing up in a small town like I did, everyone knows everything about you. And there are those moments in your small town where even though it's a small town, it might not be relevant or, you know, of no consequence to other people. You know, when you're a teenager in a small town and somebody knows something that you don't want, that's a big thing. So it's like I was already used to that feeling, but it was just on such a global level that I think it was overwhelming. And there have been a few moments like that in my career. Especially just because I think the biggest thing for me in my whole career is just being me has been really hard. Like, no manager would ever want me to do this. I have no makeup on. Like, my hair in pigtails. Mm-hmm. Like, I earn braids, so whatever. I'm comfortable. And I was potting plants and doing gardening stuff. And I had the morning off, so I didn't want to have to get, but no, but everybody, you know, would always micromanage everything and try to get you to be somebody that you're not. And the hardest part has been being me. And so I think that's been the hardest challenge, I guess I'd say, with mental health. Now, I feel very blessed because I know a lot of people in this industry, and I bet y'all do too, where for whatever reason, they're just not built for it. And they can
I don't
break.
Think I'm built for it, Kelly.
Well, you can break. You can break because it's overwhelming. It's damaging, especially with social media.
Totally.
It's defeating.
Jonathan really likes to encourage me to be myself, but it's very hard. And I think especially as a woman, there's like this whole expectation of like, I need to wear makeup. Like, if I'm going to talk to you, right? Like, I need to wear makeup. And, you know, there's this whole question of like, well, if I feel better when I look better by other people's standards, does that count, right? Okay, so there's a way I'm supposed to look. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel like myself. I still feel like other people get to tell me, oh, you shouldn't wear that. You wear black too much. Or like, can you lose some weight? Like, why is your body like that? You know, like that's still a big part.
Let me interject though, because this is what happened with me, is I was sitting in a room full of, no offense. First of all, let me say, I love men. I love older men. They're great. But I was sitting in a room full of men that were far older than me and telling me what I should be like, what I should say in interviews, what I should sing. And I'm like, y'all don't even listen to me. You're not even my core audience. Like, how would you know? And I realized in that moment, I will never please anyone. I won't. You can't please them all. So it's like, and I know it's like something people say all the time, but you literally, like on my talk show, I say things all the time. People get so pissed all the time, like at random things that I don't even think. I mentioned that I spanked my child and somebody thought your CPS should be called. And I'm like, what? Like, good luck finding a better home. Like, I'm like, what? I'm like a great mom. Like, but it was just like, you know, you could say anything and you won't ever please them. So I think the goal is, some days I wake up and I love my glam squad. I get out of my freaking glam room and I am like, Harry freaking Potter just got a hold of my face. Like, I don't even look like the same human. Like, and I think I look fine now. But they literally do such a, it's art. That's what it is. It's just how I sing. They paint. They you know, do what they do. And I can't do my hair like that. And I can't do makeup like that. And I don't enjoy doing it. So I like doing it for work because I think it's fun. It's like dress up almost when you're a kid. But in my everyday, like, nah, I'm not going to like get dressed up to go to Target or hang out with my friends or like I'm going to do what I want to do in that moment. Like some days you want to wear a dress because you're like, oh, I'm feeling flirty. Or some days, well, mine aren't usually flirty, they're like flowy. And then some days I put mascara on if I'm like, you know, I feel like crap. So like you said, like sometimes if you appear, like I learned that like choir, like even we used to, for singing classical stuff, we do in competitions, you sing behind blinds, which is funny because now I'm on The Voice, but you'd sing where they can't see you. So no one could have favoritism. So no one knew who was in the room. You just wear a number. But we all looked dressed up because our directors would say, you do feel different. Your whole thing, you do exude like, okay, I feel like I put a cute outfit on. I feel ready. I feel like I'm ready for what I've been rehearsing for. And I'd put on like a little lip gloss and some mascara. That's about it. But that's what made me feel ready. So I think it's to each his own. Like everybody's not going to, I know girls that love makeup. They don't, they go to sleep in it. They wake up in it. They wear 5,000 pieces of jewelry, which is great too. Like, but it's like, that's awesome because that's who they want to be. And I don't think I should take that away from them either. Like, so I just think everyone's different. There's like dudes like you, like, so there's dudes like you that love wearing watches and suits and.
She's calling me a dude. We're doing great.
No, not you. Talk about your man. And no, I'm just saying there's dudes that like the guys like doing that. And like, there's some that love athleisure. Like we're all different. And I think it's all acceptable.
What's athleisure? I don't even know. What is that?
Athleisure, it's like nicer athletic wear.
Oh, that's what he likes.
Don't want to wear anything else.
No, that's what I'm saying. But you know that other dudes are like, I don't leave my house without a suit on. Like, it's to each his own. Some people, it's whatever you're feeling comfortable in that moment. And I think every moment calls for something different.
Jonathan, do you have anything to say?
Well, you've done more to be yourself lately than ever before, especially in the Call Me Cat response to criticism video you put on YouTube, which got all of this attention and talking about how, you know, you're
that
not
was actually a very Kelly. That was a very Kelly Clarkson thing to do. I was like,
wait, what did you do? I missed it.
Okay, so should I explain?
Yes.
Okay, so I have this TV show for Fox, and it's called Call Me Cat, and she's okay. I mean, I think the most notable things is like I don't wear Spanx. I made that choice. I didn't lose two dress sizes to play this character. Like I wear sneakers with dresses. Like I don't wear a lot of makeup. I barely do my hair. Like, I mean, well, believe me, we do my hair so it doesn't look like I wake up, but. You know, a lot of people were like, why does she look like that? Why is she dressed like that? Why is she so weird? Why does she talk to the camera? And I did a video. It was a very Kelly Clarkson inspired energy of like, hey, y'all, you don't have to like it, but here are the reasons that we actively chose to make this character look the way she did. And if you still don't like it, that's also totally fine. But it's a decision I made to show what a woman looks like when she doesn't have to lose two dress sizes in order to be acceptable to you. And I don't wear a ton of makeup and I don't do fancy hair. And like, I bite my nails. So like, I don't need to wear fake nails.
No, I mean, on top of what you just said, I just literally had this conversation with my friends. I saw a woman the other day and I was like, I was in shock. Cause I was like, in this industry, and by the way, I do not care what anybody does. I think you should get whatever boob job, butt job, lift, wax, whatever you want to do. I think you should do you. But it was interesting because I had a woman on my show the other day and she was an older woman and I was like, she is so beautiful. What is different about her? Like, what is, it looked so beautiful. She just looked different and I couldn't figure it out. And then my makeup artist was like, she doesn't have work done.
I was like,
oh my God. I was like, why does this woman look so beautiful? Like I couldn't explain. It was a different kind of beauty. And I just hadn't seen it. Cause usually, you know, a lot of people feel pressure.
Well, we often don't see women I'm 45. We often don't see women my age who haven't already started. Most people start having work done in their 20s. Like people that you see on camera. And I think that's something most people don't realize. Women and men, but women in particular that you see on camera.
And men.
But women that you see on camera, the industry, starts with like, oh, if you start a little bit here in your 20s, it'll never fully progress to like the wrinkles that you see. Like, you know, they're like the straw lines. Like when you pucker up to, you know, drink from a straw, you get those little lines.
Yeah.
So you can start filling those. You can start filling all that stuff. And, you know, that's also another reason that I hope to get out of the industry before that becomes an issue.
That's the reason to stay in it. Like that's the beauty of it. Is that I'm not even against that. Like if people don't want the pucker lips,
sure.
If you don't want, great. But I also think that there's room for everyone. Like I'm going to look like a total Shar Pei. Like I look like a dog. Like I'm going to have every wrinkle in the world on my face because you know why? It has nothing to do with me being better than somebody that gets in the face. I am afraid of stuff called botulism toxin. I'm just going to lay it out there.
Agree.
It's literally called botulism toxin. And I'm like, no. Like, if any needle that goes in my body is either taking blood to check my thyroid or because it's off.
You have a thyroid condition too? We're twinsies.
My thyroid is crap. I'm working on it. But anyway.
Wait, I want to talk about your thyroid.
It's like healthy things for you. Not like, you know, a bunch of pharmaceuticals or much things that like mess you up. Like I'm afraid of stuff like that. So like, that's not like me being like, I'm above it.
Sure.
I'm terrified. If I weren't terrified, I would be sitting right here with some double D's. I'm going to be real with you. Because I never had big boobs and I always wanted big boobs, but I'm terrified. I would never get a boob job because I'm like, why would I cut on myself on purpose?
Oh, let's not think about it. Wait, I do want
to. No, I know, but I'm just saying like, but I have no problem people doing that.
Sure.
I think you said, oh, I hope I get out of the industry before then. I hope I don't. I hope I'm still having my talk show and I hope people see like, this is what it looks like. This is how you look when you get older. It's fine.
This is now her inner voice, by the way. I'm just going to cut up clips from your little mini monologues here.
These are affirmations with Kelly Clarkson.
No, I'm saying I don't think we're that different. Like having the conversation, I think we're very similar.
You just have more of an F you attitude and mine is conflicted about it.
I don't have an F you attitude. I have an F me attitude.
I think that you have to be a little less educated. Like me. You're too educated.
She thinks too much is what I'm hearing.
Well, at some point, I think it just is so, it's so, when it happens to you all the time, you're just like, it's not even like an F you attitude. It's like a, this is me and I'm cool with it. And I am totally cool if you're not cool with it.
I'll just say this. You have a sense that like you're really, it's really important for you to take consensus and you really value the people's opinions that you have around you.
That's because I don't trust myself.
Why?
Exactly.
The difference between me and Kelly Clarkson, a sentence I've never begun in my life, is that
she has more hit records.
She has all the hit records. No, the difference between you and me, and I'm not saying this like to get attention. I'm not okay with who I am. If I were okay.
Wow. Do you know how crazy that sounds to other people though?
Like, no.
You came on my show and I was like, I literally looked at your Wikipedia and I was like, Jesus, I'm a dumbass. Like, I was like, I literally looked at your thing and I was like, what an astute, like, and I'm not saying this because you're like, you know, in the beginning you're making the joke, like famous people saying, oh no, you're cool. I'm not doing that. I'm being real. Like, as a woman, I was like, man, I'm in the presence of someone that is not only cool, beautiful, so intelligent, has been just killing it since you were how old? Like, that's, it's so funny how people perceive you and how one perceives themselves, because it's totally different.
She also hosted Jeopardy, just FYI.
I have hosted.
See, I missed that.
No, but
I lost at Family Feud.
I wanted to do Family Feud. I couldn't find a date that didn't coincide with my filming. No, a lot of my, and I have chosen to talk about being a person who struggles with eating disorder. So I've chosen to speak about that here, but that is like the veil that hangs over almost everything I do, because all I was thinking was like, I mean, I tried on a million dresses because I wanted to look so, I'm going to cry, you guys. It's already started. I tried on so many dresses because I wanted to look so great when I got to meet Kelly Clarkson. Like, that was like literally a thing.
What?
I tried on all these dresses and I was so excited, and like everyone just like didn't feel right. And I'm like picturing myself next to you, because that's another thing that I really admire about you, is like you have a really, like, you have an outrageous sense of fashion sometimes, and you just like own it. Like, everything you wear, you look like, I don't care what you think. Like, I look awesome, like with a belt, and you're always accessorized, and like you do crazy awesome different things with your hair. Like, you're very diverse in how you present yourself. And I just wanted to look good for like a 7-minute segment. And I remember like the size on the dress was not what I wanted it to be. It was like the kind of dress that they don't make in big girl sizes for me. Like, it was a whole S storm. And the thing that I was most excited about was that my calves still look the way I want them to. So at least I wore sparkly shoes when I got to be on Kelly Clarkson.
With your sexy calves.
So that if nothing else, like, people would be like, well, at least her calves look good. Like, that's literally what it was like. And so it's like, if I could disappear, like, I want to disappear.
Wow, that's so crappy.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good to be me.
I mean, can I tell you how you just described me, though? First of all, you should know this. Almost 99% of the things that you see me in, I would never have bought. Like, I let my stylist dress me in whatever she wants to. Now, sometimes she can put me in something I'm like, nah, girl, I can't do this. Like, I feel like it's not good. But 99% of the time, I literally walk in and go, what do you want me to wear? What do you think vibes? Because I'm a singer and a songwriter. I'm not a fashion girl. That's not my I'm literally wearing a Joshua Tree, like, I'm wearing you two and some sweatpants that I only literally ran a mile in today because I was like, I don't want to do anymore. And literally, I was like, no. but my point is my glam squad, like, you hear my, anytime you see my hair, that was never my idea.
It's Robert. You and I shared a hair person.
I know, but yeah. I tell Robert, I tell Glow, and I tell Candace, those are my glam squad people. I say, do what you want. Like, this is not my field. I'm going to sit in this chair. However I look when I, you know, appear will be cool. Like, I obviously, you know, I at the end of the day, I go, ooh, maybe not that thing or whatever. But 99% of the time, they've never even worked with someone like me. Like, because I don't, it's not that I don't care. It's that I care enough to hire people and pay them well to do their job. Like,
yeah, but okay,
like,
so hold on. But this is where there's a breakdown, because what people want me to wear, it doesn't feel good. Meaning they want me to, like,
does it not feel good because it's not your norm, or does it not feel good? Because I will say this,
it's not
Candace
me.
Has done this for me. She would literally put me in something that, like, cause I don't know about you, but I'm not one thing. Like, I would wear this. I would,
yeah.
Wear, you know, cause
no, I'm not,
like,
I'm not one thing.
I would wear a ball gown. I would wear,
well,
I like,
okay.
A lot of different
things. This just became like Kelly Clarkson doing therapy for me, which is literally the dream that I had 4 nights ago.
My MB Alex Breakdown is supported by Ritual.
We all deserve to know what we're putting in our bodies and why, especially if it's something that we take every day. Ritual has clean, vegan-friendly multivitamins that are formulated with high-quality nutrients in bioavailable forms that your body can actually use. I actually take Ritual, and that is why I love Ritual, is that bioavailable forms of all of these important things actually makes a difference. What you won't find in Ritual is sugars, GMOs, allergens, synthetic fillers, and artificial colorants. Ritual is designed with your life stage in mind. There's a variety for women, for men, for teens. They are scientifically developed to support different stages of life. Your multivitamins are delivered to your door every month with free shipping always. You can start, snooze, or cancel your subscription anytime. And if you don't love it within your first month, they'll refund your order. Get key ingredients without the BS. Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/breakdown to start your ritual today.
My NBA Alex Breakdown is supported by Third Love.
Jonathan, you know how annoyed you are when I talk about how much I love my Third Love bra?
Endless conversation about it.
I love my Third Love bra. Third Love creates high-quality underwear, sleep, and loungewear to celebrate your comfort when you need it most. And the most amazing thing that I like to talk about, they have cup sizes from AA through I. They have lounge and sleepwear that comes in extra small to 3X. You will find something you wear again and again. You know what I really love? Half cup sizes. Never thought I needed it. I'm a half cup size. You get the level of fit and comfort that you deserve with Third Love. They have more than 80 sizes. This is a bra that makes me realize why people talk about a bra that they love as much as I love this Third Love bra. They have no slip straps. They really don't slip. They have a scratch-free band, and the half cups is really, like I said, changed my life. You can find your new favorite everyday essentials, because they also have all new Feather Lace collection, which is added to their number one rated 24/7 classic t-shirt bra. Third Love donates all of their gently used return bras to women in need, supporting charities in their local San Francisco Bay Area and across the U.S. They've donated over $40 million in bras. Third Love knows you deserve to feel comfortable and confident 24/7. They're offering our listeners 20% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/breakdown now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 20% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/breakdown for 20% off today. Here's the thing. I've been nominated for an Emmy 4 times. I've lost all 4 times. My children would like me to remind everyone. But for those four times, there's a tremendous amount of pressure about what you're going to wear on that carpet. It's a very big deal.
And I don't care.
Well, I understand, but I can't not care, because the things that I have had designers try and put me in, it's like insane. What other people would design for me is like, let's make Mayim Bialik look edgy. Let's make her what they think edgy is. Let's make Mayim Bialik look sexy. But part of the problem is I don't like the process. I don't like talking to people. I don't like multiple fittings. So my solution is put me in something black, put me in something that shows off that I'm curvy in the places that I like to be curvy. I'm kind of like old Hollywood curvy.
I think that's great.
This is my point. My point was, why is it that you keep saying that you want to only wear black?
There's nothing
wrong with that. You want to do that. You know what you want, and yet you keep going and letting
people do
all these things and present all these ideas that you don't end up liking and you hate the process.
This interview's over. Thank you, Kelly.
No, but here's the thing too. I like that too. I walk in, my friends surprised me for my birthday is not for like 5 days, but they surprised me for a birthday weekend.
Happy birthday.
And well, thank you. It's in a few days, but they surprised me, went to Vegas, and I was like, girl, we had some drinks. We ate what we wanted. We were the slot machines. Like, I didn't watch a damn thing I was doing because I was just having a good time. So I'm going to get to work tomorrow. And I literally, this is our joke. I walk in and I go, you need to go towards the far end of the closet where the bigger options are. Like, literally, that's my thing. Candace, she's like, how you feeling today? I'm like, I'm feeling like the left side's good. I'm feeling a little thin. I'm feeling good. And then I literally would come in and be like, no, I had a girls' weekend, so we need to head that way. And we literally, I have a closet that ranges. This is not a joke. Trisha's right here to tell you. My body is an anomaly. It should be studied when I die. I can literally gain 2 sizes or lose 2 sizes from morning to lunch. It is the weirdest thing. It's all inflammation, whatever. And so, anyway, so I have all these options. And some days I'm like you, I'm like, I don't want to think about it. I just want to put some black on. I don't have to worry about sucking in.
Okay. You know what? And then we're going to get to Jonathan's comment. I'm not as famous as Kelly Clarkson. That's the problem.
What?
So this is exactly where I was going to go next. I was going to ask Kelly, because she always says this, she can't be herself. She has to fit in, and
that's
she blames
why.
It on her status of where she is. And I'm
it's
like,
true.
You are accomplished enough no. to do whatever the heck you want at this point.
Nope.
What?
Exactly.
You have very altered. You have like that I have a friendly cute. You have a very altered appearance of like what people see you as.
No, but by the standard.
Right.
But by the
that's exactly what I say, Kelly.
We're going to talk about it. By the standards of our industry, there are absolutely avenues of publicity, photo shoots, and levels of esteem that people are not interested in me for. So I think in my public, and
that's
love
been me too.
But I think in my
career is like this.
But I think it's not about my career. Easy there, sister.
No, I'm saying, but that's why people get interested or less interested. That's what I'm
right.
saying. Like,
no,
I
but
feel
that's
like that's life.
Okay, but this is the thing, and I think for my publicist, and this is her job, is to be like, what is it that could get Mayim into Hollywood Reporter, right? Like, what is it?
No, but my question is, like, who cares if you're in it or not? Like, I'm the wrong person to ask about stuff like this.
Heather's going
to
say you can never speak to Kelly Clarkson again and you can't listen to her music. She's poisoning my mind.
What is the least amount of things you can do to make an impact? Like, that's what, like, because, and that's literally been me my whole career. So, I've gotten, like, ridiculed for, you know, turning down things that people are like, why did you turn that down? Because for me, it wasn't a very important thing. It didn't hold a lot of weight for me. And why I won, take that opportunity away from somebody that would mean something incredible to them, you know, and I think we're all different. That comes back to the same thing. It's just, we're all different. But I think you, like from this conversation, I think you try too hard. You're already badass. You don't have to try. You are so cool.
And if people are only listening to the audio, you got to see Mayim's reaction to Kelly Clarkson setting her straight.
What is happening? I was like,
a lot's happening.
I would give my all to like have the knowledge you have. I would give my all to like not only just like your smarts, but just in the industry. I don't know. I perceive you differently. I think than you obviously perceive. I think we all do that.
Let's talk about your thyroid.
Let's talk about it. It works like this.
The reason, the reason that I would like to talk about your thyroid is because okay, so I have an overactive thyroid. So we have different things, which
that's
is fine
dangerous.
Because yes, it is. I know. So yeah. I was diagnosed with my thyroid condition in college, and it is much harder to manage. You know,
hyperactive.
Yeah, hyperactive is different to manage, and the medication that we have to take, we can't take forever, and it often leads to needing to have the thyroid removed, and there's all these things. And also, if I quit my job and left Hollywood and spent all my time in an ashram getting acupuncture 3 times a day, I do believe my body would find a new resting place, but...
What if you gave less Fs? Do you think it would also...
You know what? That's not
stress.
Helpful. Okay, both of you need to cut it out right now.
Oh my God, I'm back channeling
with Kelly as you speak.
What I was going to say, though, is the thyroid is one of those things that is very strongly connected to your emotional system.
Everything,
but specifically, it's one of those things that so many women that I talk to have a thyroid condition, usually an underactive thyroid.
Usually it's hypo.
Also, and I'm not asking you to like, well, okay, I am also opening the door for you if you'd like to spill your guts, but so many of the women that I talk to who get diagnosed with a thyroid condition were also having a tremendous amount of mood stuff or stress or like all these things. And it's one of those things that like classic Western medicine is like, here, we'll shut off your thyroid, or here, we'll give you what your thyroid is missing. But the Eastern medicine approach, like the more holistic approach is like, what's going on in your body that your thyroid is attacking itself, right? And that, I'm actually curious, when you were diagnosed, obviously it's linked to weight. Like that's the thing people most think about.
That's how I found out. Cause I was with a trainer and they were like, why can you not, like we work out like all the time. Well, I don't understand why you're not. And I was like, I don't know. I'm not like sneaking food like a college, you know, munchies or anything. I'm like, I'm just doing my life. But we found out that it was very underactive. And I thought, I God's honest truth, I'd never really heard much about it
before.
I was like 25 maybe. And I made a joke and I was like, this is just that fat people thing. When people get fat, they're like, oh, it must be my thyroid. And I'm like, you know, and I was like, I thought it was just people BSing. So, and then I found out, I was like, oh, it's real. That's karma. It's ironic. and then it happened. And I got put on medicine. It's really incredible. Two things, because you said something a minute ago that I do think that you can do things holistically that you don't have to go and live with a shaman
or a combination, right?
Yeah, no, I do think that, I don't know about hyper, I don't know much about that, but I know about hypo. And it is amazing how I had been running on little to no fumes. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, or just fumes, I guess, little to no fuel and just fumes. And then when I started feeling what base level was supposed to be feeling like, I was like, what? Like, and then I got really annoyed with having to be reliant upon medicine. And, so then I mean, I ate so clean. I did all these things. I've read the books and, you know, with thyroid, and I read a lot about how a lot of people blame a lot of things with Hashimoto's. I have that as well, which a lot of people have that autoimmune disease if you have a thyroid issue as well.
Same.
I did too. And so I read a lot about how, because I lived on antibiotics from like the age of 20 to 24.
Can you explain why were you living on antibiotics?
I had walking pneumonia, bronchitis, like I had so many things going wrong and my body just couldn't keep up with the schedule. And, you know, managers and everybody that works with you is just, they just want you to keep going.
Get her better.
Yeah. Get her better. Put a B12 in her ass. Like, just like, you know, it's just like whatever gets her to that level. So anyway, so, and I didn't know that antibiotics was bad for you like that. I didn't know it ruined your gut flora. I didn't know any of that, you know, information. A lot of that information really wasn't privy to a lot of us yet and on the norm. So they do say that a lot of that has to do with, you know, leaky gut, how, you know, kind of leads to all these things, because antibiotics are really, you know, for a quick things for men in war, like, you know, like, you know, using those things like that. That's, you know, how it originally, you know,
well, and also hold on, as our local, you know, PhD, I do need to say that antibiotics can be and are life-saving medications.
100%
that are absolutely critical to many situations.
But we use them too freely.
We use, and this is something, Jonathan and I are old school hippies. So like we've been talking about this for, I mean, since our kids were tiny and even before then. So yeah, but I just want to like, disclaimer, it's very important to have antibiotics, but they are overprescribed. Yes. And especially in our industry, it's like, let's give her a steroid injection in her vocal cords. She'll be fine.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Sorry. So go ahead.
No, so I'm not against it. That's why I said they're invented and they're wonderful. There are wonderful drugs to that are life-saving, like you said, but we abuse them in our society. We like, oh, she has a sinus infection, give her this. Oh, she has a, it's all, it's whatever little things. It's for bigger ailments, not these small ones that whatever. So anyway, there's a lot kind of linked to it. And you know, then now I work with this amazing doctor because I also have Lyme. So, but it's inactive, I guess, or what I didn't. So anyway, so I found this amazing doctor out here, in LA that literally has been life-changing for me. Like, I didn't know anything about peptides that are like natural, not pharmaceutical, like natural ones. I didn't know anything about NAD. I didn't know anything about any of these things that our body produced, but then stops producing at a certain point because of, you know, DNA fractures or whatever happens with us. But,
you know, the years you put in early in your career in particular, that can also lead to, this is another, you know, hippie term that people don't want to think about, except we have to. Adrenal failure is a thing.
Yeah.
And adrenal
cancer is bad.
Right. Well, an adrenal failure is basically the holistic diagnosis for workaholism. Like that's what it is. Meaning when you run your body into the ground, your body, your kidneys, your adrenal system will say like, this is a lot for us. And at some point other systems can start breaking down. And the thyroid is one of those things that's like, here's your wake up call from the universe that your body is mad.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, like you said, your mood, like coming back to that, like it alters it. Like my band, they work, cause we all work really hard. Like my crew, we're just a bunch of kids that we still, you know, love to work hard and have one life to live and that kind of thing. But we want to enjoy it too. We want to enjoy the ride. Well, we think, I don't know. And the one life. But my band literally were like, what is happening with you right now? They were literally recently were like, why are you, you are so like, you're brighter, you're lighter. You don't feel as like heavy with like all, you know, the weight of everything. And I was like, man, I literally feel like, and this is a horrible thing to say, but I have this conversation with my doctor all the time because I get so angry because I think that wealthy people can get well because there are options for people that have money that can really help not just extend your life, but improve your life. And it's one of those things that I get because even my family that I'll help out and they'll get stuff done too. It's like, they're like, man, we would never be able to afford it. And it's like, I know. And there's so much opportunity and not even like pharmaceuticals, like even natural things that they have that are available, but only for a price, you know?
Yeah.
But I was telling my band, and now everybody is kind of linked in with my nurse and my doctor that I use, because it really has changed our lives. Like we feel like it's not even just base level. You're like living at a really positive, and it's not like, I don't know if you've seen this, but like Coke is like candy in this industry. Mm-hmm. I've never done that. Like, but people will shove that in front of you. It's been shoved in front of me so many times. Drugs have been just shoved in front of me just to like, you know, keep going, you know,
yeah,
speed, like whatever. And it's like, all that is so destructive. And it's like, whatever, live your life how you want to, but it's so destructive. And there's so many beneficial things that are healthy and natural for you that can give you that feeling.
I'm picturing an after party and everyone's like, here's the cocaine. But I'm picturing Kelly Clarkson being like, here's some B12 supplements.
I know. That's me. Dude, I'm
here's some wheatgrass.
I was like, I literally was the thing, and I was like, everybody's like, oh, you look good. I was like, man, I just had some NAD. I feel so good. But it's literally, it's because I had an IV of NAD the night before with a Myers cocktail, which is all the vitamins. And it's NAD is something our body naturally produces. But it's
Jonathan knows exactly what you're talking about.
I'm on a daily. Yeah.
I know. You can take time.
Exactly. In a liquid form. Yeah.
You know what? NMN is really good too with resveratrol. But anyway, I'm just saying all these things.
Oh, that's straight
really
out of the David Sinclair playbook right there.
I know. I'm telling you, I didn't just read it. I took it in. So I'm telling you, it's I literally have done this with my whole camp, and it's been really helpful. And I think it's such a waste, because in an industry where they want you to keep going and they want you to be in your A game, why aren't you giving people things that are beneficial for them as well as, you know, keeping you going?
My MB Alex Breakdown is supported by Osea.
You know, as we head into summer, I am reminded how unpleasant it is to have dry skin, which is what happens for many of us in the winter. I've been using Osea for years. I love how their products feel, and I love how they smell. It's just a thing. I'm very excited about incorporating the Undaria algae body oil into my routine. A lot of people think oil is greasy and oily. This is luxurious and rich. It's not sticky. Osea's Undaria algae body oil instantly moisturizes and replenishes dry skin, leaving every inch silky smooth. Skin is super soft and glowing with Undaria algae, acai pulp, and Babassu seed oil. Osea soaks hand-harvested Undaria algae in barrels of oils for up to 6 months. The result is essentially liquid gold. They have skin and body care products that are powered by the sea. They're vegan and cruelty-free, responsibly sourced, plant-derived ingredients. It's good for your skin, good for the planet, female-founded, and family-operated by a mother and daughter team. And you can try Osea risk-free for 30 days and get free shipping on orders over $50. They even send you free samples with every order. Get 10% off your first order with my promo code BREAKDOWN at OseaMalibu.com. That's 10% off with code BREAKDOWN at OseaMalibu, OseaMalibu.com.
So two things. One is that in this pandemic, we've done very little to actually talk about optimizing the immune system and strengthening the immune system, which I think is a massive disservice. And then number two, about NMN, when you started taking it, so I gave mine like half a capsule of one of this stuff.
Is that what you gave me?
Yeah, that's what I gave you. This was a long time ago, but actually when I started taking it, it's like almost too intense for me. It makes me so hyper-focused. Like it feels like I'm on speed to a certain degree. Like, and I'm like,
tell what happened when you gave it to me.
Well, I joked that it was the productivity like supplement, because it reminded me of like when I used to try to take Adderall in my early 20s.
A lot of people do. I know a lot of people do. And
for
that's
me, it was horrible. Yes, yeah. It wasn't good. I used to joke that I would go to sleep and I'd be like, okay, I'm going to sleep now. Sleep, go. But then when I took that supplement, okay, I was like, also like I worked for 16 hours and my mind was like so sharp and I felt like I had all this clarity. But then when I tried to slow myself down, it didn't really work. And I think it changes as you're on it over a longer period of time. But I was curious sort of like in those early days, how it affected you. Also, when I gave it to Mayim, she was like, she felt super buzzed. She was like, ooh.
See, the first two nights, and I think it depends on the chemistry of your body. Obviously, you would know that more than anyone. But like, I think if you're in desperate need of it, you don't feel it quite hit like how everybody else is. So I didn't have, like me and my makeup artist, we have completely different bodies. I'm like, good. I just feel focused, like in a good way, not like intense way. I feel like I'm not constantly fighting the lethargy, like that lethargic state, which comes with hypothyroidism. So it's just one of those things that, I mean, and I still obviously take Synthroid, but I will say this, when I'm on, like a minute ago, mine, when you said, you know, if I get acupuncture every day, if I'd lived here or whatever, I'd be able to, I literally am proof that that has happened. Like I went on like the best plan ever. I wasn't even really working out. I literally just changed my food and that really did change my numbers. And I have horrible numbers like for my thyroid. So it's, but I was able to get off of Synthroid and then I slipped back or whatever. So, but it's hard to keep up.
I do want to ask you before we let you go, I do want to ask you because you obviously, and I don't want to touch on anything public or uncomfortable about, meaning aspects that have been public or uncomfortable, but you're in a particularly stressful time of your life right now. And I do wonder, do you go to therapy? Are you a therapy person?
Oh. 100%.
Okay, well, tell us about that. When did you start going to therapy? What kind of therapy? Is it traditional therapy? Is it hypnosis? Is it cognitive behavioral therapy? What do you do?
We actually started going, my ex and I, we started seeing someone before we were divorced. And it was because we were just not, we weren't lining up. Like, and no matter what one would say, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, like, it just, we weren't lining up. I guess because I'm from a child of a couple divorces with my family, like it's not so weird to me that like, you know, you start out in this relationship, you have similar ideals, similar like, you know, dreams, like all those things. And that can change and people can change and you know, things get altered. So I think, you know, we were in there and neither one of us, you know, wanted a divorce. So, you know, that's why I started therapy and that's why we all did actually in our family. And so, anyway, and then it just became, I think the pandemic hit and, you know, and I think a lot of, we keep making jokes in our camp because it's like, oh, another one, COVID got another one, like relationship, you know, because it's not just getting people's health, it's getting people's, you know, relationships
mental health.
As well. Cause it was an extreme environment for everyone. And you know, and that went into play in the decision, but you know, I think therapy for me was just figuring out, I am one of those people that I will just keep doing something and like insanity, like expecting a different result. And cause I don't like to give up and I don't like to lose hope in anything. And I think everyone can change. I'm such a Pollyanna in that sense, says the girl who's never seen Pollyanna. I just know people use that expression, but I've actually never seen Pollyanna, but I hear she's really, you know, everything in life. But anyway, my point is that I needed to talk to someone outside of myself. And I think that that's so important for everyone. You don't have to be going through a hard time. It's just nice. Cause now, you know, I've been seeing her for, I don't know how long now, but like, I love, like, I'm going to talk to her Friday. I love talking to her because it's nice to have someone outside of your circle, outside of your life. And someone that you are just completely and total, just honest about everything that maybe you shouldn't tell people. and you know, and even like talking about divorce with her, like I was like, you know, having those conversations with her, the stranger, it was so weird for me, but it was really healthy for me because, you know, a lot of times if nothing's going to get fixed just by beating the same dead horse. Nothing's going to get resolved if you're both not willing to work towards that same goal, you know, that same vision that you have for each other. And that's not a horrible thing. I think that was the thing too. I think if you're from divorce, like as a kid, you're like, I will never do that. Like I never want to put my kids through that. I never would do that. And I was so against it. And I don't know. I tried so hard and, you know, and I think people do. I think you try and it doesn't work.
It's a great point because especially when you're in the public eye, that's, of course, the scrutiny you come under. Like, oh, these celebrities. And, you know, I know that's kind of a niche comment, but I remember, I mean, I will never forget this, and I won't name who it was. When my divorce became public, and I've been divorced for, gosh, I don't know, 8 years, almost 9 years? I don't remember. Something like that. I remember some hosts of a very, very famous, very prominent talk show literally spoke about it in the intro to their show and said, serves her right for having her kids sleep in her bed. They literally said she deserved it. I mean, it's outrageous to me. But that's,
see,
but that's, I know.
And if I, in and out,
that's, if I were Kelly Clarkson, I'd be like, oh, who cares?
Something like that, by the way, very unhappy with their own lives.
Okay. But my point being that especially when you're a public person, people feel that they have a right to decide they didn't try hard enough. They didn't really, you know, they must not have had that big of a commitment, but celebrities are people too. And most of us do not want divorce. It's not seen like, oh, it's just another Kleenex marriage. Like we try just like other people do.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I think on the other hand of that though, I think to some extent we are in the public eye. So it's expected.
Sure.
Just because people, you know, you're in the public eye. So people, if they like your show, if they like what you do, they like your songs, they like your show, like whatever it is, like they're going to be invested, you know, just, you know, it's just kind of a thing, I guess, that happens. So, but my thing is I don't think it's good to say you don't care. It's not that I don't care. I care about people's opinions that I know and respect. Like I care about, you know, having, God, I think I'm going to do this with my sister or with my friends or with people that know and love me on a daily and actually engage with me on a daily. But I do think that, you know, you're always going to have those people in the public eye that are like, oh, you know, well, she deserves it because da da da. And it's just like, that's just some off comment that some unhappy person that just is trying to be funny or witty. And
I think
moment,
they wanted to
it
be
It means
mean.
Nothing. It means nothing though. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, and it's like at the same time, like, who's winning? You are all the way to the bank. She's talking about you. You ain't talking about her. Like, it's like, I mean, who's the one winning there? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, I just think you have to keep it. I don't know. I keep it like, cause people, my mom, I don't read news things. I chose a long time ago to not read anything good or bad.
Oh, like, my mom reads it all. My mom reads it all.
So my mom was like talking to me the other day and she was like, I'm so frustrated. I guess somebody came out and said something. I had some kind of breakdown or whatever. And I was like, oh, and she was like, I know what you have it. You have to tell people you have it.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't care. And like, is it bad? Like if somebody would have a breakdown while they're getting divorced, it's kind of a huge, horrible thing. Like, so I'm not going to say, no, I haven't had one, even though I haven't, because maybe somebody out there did have a bad one during their divorce and there's nothing wrong with that.
I have breakdowns every day, Kelly. I have a breakdown every day.
You should stop. We're going to be a part of a group text, the three of us.
I will be Venmoing you $350 for your services this hour. Thank you so much for joining us.
Also, Kelly's coming out with her own line of 3-minute motivational exercises. You're going to be the first client.
That's what I want for Hanukkah.
Working on this in the
I want that for Hanukkah. I want a Kelly Clarkson Hanukkah inspirational videos for me.
So AI puts the person's name in, and then Kelly's like, in one ear, out the other. You don't listen to that person.
Kelly.
Because they're talking
you
about
you. You know what would be best, though? The best thing would just be like, every time someone inserts something on the AI thing, it just says, the only advice every time is, fuck them. That's the only advice. Every time. It doesn't matter what your problem is.
I need a button with Kelly Clarkson's voice just saying, fuck him. Kelly, you are absolutely delightful. You are completely yourself and you're awesome. And it's really a pleasure to speak to you.
I'm too lazy to be anything else. That's my thing. It comes down to apathy.
All right. Thank you so, so much.
No, absolutely. I love you guys. We got to do this again.
You know what, Maim?
I didn't like that interview. From our breakdown to the one I hope you never have. Bye. We don't talk about it.
That's it.
Why you make me cry?
Because I'm your choir director, breaking you down to build
you
back up.
No, you're not. Oh, Jesus.
She has a lot of good information and perspective for you. Let's make a list.
No, we're not making a list.
You might need more Kelly Clarkson attitude if...
You're Mayim Bialik.
We have two guests so far that I wanted to do motivational recordings for you. One was Hunter McGrady.
Oh, my God.
Remember Hunter? You were supposed to stand in front of the mirror.
You know what? I've tried, okay? I've tried.
How's that been going?
Not so good. And every time there's that little bit of meat right under my bra strap, I'm like, Hunter says I'm supposed to love it. It's just getting in the way of everything I wear.
So after you listen to the Hunter tape and you do the Hunter affirmations, as soon as you hit a snag... You play the Kelly Clarkson
voice
one.
Saying, F it. She's a very interesting person. I think she's awesome. I like her attitude. She's smart. She's funny. She's done a lot of work on herself. And I really respect that. And she's listening to her body. And I really like how she, honestly, I really like how she spoke about her health journey because, first of all, she was very gracious in saying that having access to this level of healthcare, I mean, the way I heard it is that it shouldn't be just something for people who can afford it, that these things help people. And it's really, really sad. I mean, forget about the fact that so much about mental health in particular has become an elitist sport. But I thought that was really beautiful that, A, she honored that and she brought that up. And also she does a combination of Western and Eastern medicine. And she said she's living proof that you can change a lot of things and not rely on Western medicine. But it's very, very hard to be consistent with that, especially with a busy and active lifestyle. And there's nothing wrong with taking Synthroid if you have an underactive thyroid. That is the medication that, you know, helps bring your numbers up. And, you know,
it was interesting to hear that when she did have massive lifestyle changes, that she saw her numbers drastically change.
Well, she said it wasn't even that massive. She just like, oh, I'm eating the wrong foods, you know. And I know her doctor. It's a, you know, there are a couple in LA that are known for that kind of, you know, allopathic medicine of balancing the Western and the Eastern. And it's a commitment, you know, it's a real commitment.
And for people who aren't going to get that type of help, what I wanted to reassure is that lifestyle changes, adjusting the level of stress, and people are like, well, I can't adjust the level of stress because I'm, you know, responsible for all of these
things. That's what you say when I tell you to avoid the level of stress. That's literally what you say.
I also say that I know that I can do better at mindfulness. I can bring more little mindfulness moments into my day.
You only say that when I yell at you.
I've started cold therapy, which is very painful.
Oh my gosh. Would you like to talk about your cold therapy?
Well, if people are following me on Instagram, they will have seen that I recorded a little video and it says, recorded for someone who knows how much I hate the cold. And it's my son saying, narrating a video of me going into a glacier
river. You posted that?
I posted me in the water doing the breathing, and it was a short clip.
That breathing.
That, a lot of breathing, because as soon as I stop focusing on my breathing, it's extremely painful.
That kind of cold seizes up your lungs. I mean, like all the muscles say like, no, I think death is better.
That's what it feels like, because it is a glacier-fed river. And
is it a glacier-fed river?
It is extremely, extremely cold. And, you know, a lot of
you're
the
a
most
glacier
common
fed river.
Response I got to that video was, but you're Canadian. And I would like to point out to people, number one, not all Canadians love the cold. And number two, I left Canada for a reason.
And number three, not that long ago, your family was in Eastern Europe, like trudging through snow. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you want to live in it.
That is correct.
It's not like, well, I actually used to joke this with you, but it's not like, I think my younger son was like, but he's Canadian. But it's not like you're an Inuit. It's not like you're a genetically.
I didn't live in the northern tundra.
Right, like you've lived for tens of thousands of years.
Yeah. Actually, when I first got to Los Angeles, I had never lived in that level of heat. And it was like 96 degrees. And I was like, I can't live in this. I'm going to die. And I would walk kind of like bow-legged so that my shorts wouldn't touch my body because I was so hot. But like 8 months later, and I'm like, I hate the cold and I can live in, I want it to be 100 degrees every day.
I have so many things to say, but I think that's going to wrap it up.
Well, I'll keep updating people so I stay accountable here.
Oh, if you're not following Jonathan on Instagram, you are missing out.
You're missing one-wheeling videos. You're
Dad
missing-
bod.
But I was amazed that just in the first day of being exposed to cold, and it was probably like a handful of minutes over the course of a few different sessions, meaning like it was one trip to the river, but like I would get out because I kind of hit my limit
sessions.
And then I would go back in.
He calls them sessions.
I was amazed that immediately I had noticeable difference in the pain that I have in my hip, which has been, you know, very bad and recently got an MRI. Maybe I'll share my results on Instagram.
Well, you know what, Dr. Cohen? One experience decides that it's working because that's the only reason your pain would go away. From our breakdown to the one we hope you never have, from Dr. Cohen and Dr. Bialik, we'll see you next time. Good thing you're cute, Cohen.
It's my Bialik's breakdown. She's going to break it down for you. She's got a neuroscience PhD or two. One fiction, one
and now she's gonna break down.